Hey, welcome to the Foster Fathers Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Kyle.
And this is a podcast all about foster care, adoption, and fatherhood.
We hope that you feel welcome. We hope that you feel that you belong. And we're glad that you're here to share this time with us.
Let's go.
And we are back.
It's been a little bit. It's been a little bit. We're still on our release schedule, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. Little behind the scenes. We film a couple episodes.
Once a week.
Then that way we have a backlog just in case life goes awry, like it did last week.
Yeah.
And then, 4 weeks ago, same thing happened. Yeah. So it's good, and it also gives us space. Turns out, when you have 8 kids with two sets of parents, there's a lot of changes that come up.
Oh yeah, dude. Last week was rough. We had some friends go through, get some pretty heavy news.
Yeah,
took a toll, you know.
Well, and then this week you're a single dad of two.
Yeah, my wife's on the other side of this country.
Yeah,
with two of our kids that I've begun to affectionately call the Chaos Twins. Our adopted daughter and our biological son, who are probably less than a year apart. And they are just great. They are so, either they're the best of friends or they're the worst of enemies, and it is awesome.
What's it? Frenemies.
Frenemies, dude.
Frenemies, dude.
I miss them. I have the oldest and the youngest right now, and our, house is a little quiet.
Yeah.
Like, they're the two easiest to kind of put to bed. Except for tonight, which you witnessed, and he put the baby to bed. But
I'll take that as a win. It felt like a win to me that I could come in, rock a 8-month-old to bed.
I was like, dude, I don't know, I'm striking out.
I don't get that. You know, I don't ever get to.
Oh, you're welcome to it whenever you want, bro.
Yeah, I soak it up. But and then we'll get into one last thing, and we'll get into it. But our one of our former foster girls. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, early on, sleep was just, it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
2+ hours, usually. But by the end of it, her sleep was good. However, the daytime, this little thing was a disruptor, just a total disruptor, you know? And Jessica, my wife, would always say, it's just a little calmer when she's gone.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. I mean, she was an instigator. Yeah. And, even still, we see it with our kids and every week we're settling in more and more, but when one kid's out and about riding bikes with a neighbor boy, or two kids are out at daycare or school or whatever, it's not addition, it's multiplication.
Absolutely.
It's 1 times 2 times 3 times 4. It's not addition. Whoever thought that adding one kid is adding one kid? No, it's exponential.
Yeah.
So it's probably what you're experiencing a little bit is also the exponential format. It's square root. I'm no mathematician.
Our Chaos Twins are my little.
I love that.
I love snuggling my little daughter, so I kind of miss her.
For sure.
Well, and my son too. So.
Nobody's discrediting that. Nobody's discrediting that. You don't have to get all dad shame on this.
I sleep all night tonight, I'll be like, I'm good. Sorry for my wife and my mother-in-law.
Oh, sweet, dude. Okay, so we're back to you, I think, this week.
Oh, yeah.
This week in foster care, and I think you got a good one, so excited to
No, I think this week in foster care, at least for me, I think both of us in a certain respect, it's just I got to sit across at a Chipotle. Chipotle sponsor us. I could eat Chipotle every day of my life. Please.
This episode is brought to you by Chipotle.
Oh, man.
Fresh ingredients, fresh cooked, real people.
That would literally save me so much money.
Kidding. I'm just making this up.
If you're listening and you're like, what can I get Chris as a gift? It's a Chipotle gift card. No, I'm just kidding. But kind of not really. Okay,
when's
anyways,
your birthday?
November, Thanksgiving time.
Oh, that's a long ways. That's right. We were there for your birthday.
I would have Chipotle for Thanksgiving. That's around my birthday time.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, that's not what I'm talking about. Sitting at a Chipotle across from, we talked about this a little bit before, but someone who's about to, he's getting their license and he's ready and they're about to take the leap, ready for that call. And I've had a few of those now.
Sorry, so they're done. They're licensed.
They're done. Yeah. Well, home studies coming.
Home studies coming. Okay. Yeah, dude. They're getting close.
And they're getting excited, and that's wonderful. Like that's I love it. That's what I like. That's kind of why we started this podcast. Can we be a resource and an encouragement? But there's also a little bit of that, like, dude, it's coming.
You don't know what it's about to hit like, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there, that this week in Foster Care is that. It's just the reality.
I hope he's not listening.
I think he was. That's how he hit me up.
Hey, dude, it's about to get really hard.
Yeah. If you're like, dude, I was at Chipotle a couple of days ago with Chris. I'm talking about you. No. It's awesome. Like, it's so encouraging. Yeah. It's like, dude, and what I was like, just hit me with the hardest questions. Like, what are you not getting the answer to that you wish you could get? And so that's kind of fun to have that conversation.
Awesome.
But then also, like, oh, we're just, you know, we just want to help. And that's so good. And that's obviously true.
Yeah.
But, like, it's also like, dude, it's about to get complicated. It's about to get hard. It's about to, you know, you're going to have so many questions that nobody has the answers to. And
but it's also, from our end, it is encouraging.
Totally.
To see, you know, because I think the term, the psychological term is called jaded. Where you and I might be a little bit jaded, and today's topic will cover why people can become jaded.
Yeah,
little sneak preview that keeps you roped until the end.
2 minutes.
But you know, it is grounding for you and I to realize why we're here, what that does look like, what you and I look like. Yeah. You know what drove us to get into this in the first place. 100%. It's easy to lose the forest through the trees. That's been my saying lately. The forest through the trees, but it's that is exciting. We have a couple from our community group, and they are getting into you know, they're going through it all. And my wife's advice was one at a time.
Yeah,
one at a time. You
She's
know, cause
like, please, my husband didn't do that
for your sake, for your sanity. One at a time. Yeah, so I mean, I think that you know, there are ways to manage it, and having friends around you to walk you through it. You know, I mean, the only way, man, I'm full of cliches today. Yeah. The only way out is through. Mm. And so, yeah, dude, we would never dissuade someone from jumping into this, but it is a reality that it's going to be hard.
Oh yeah,
and absolutely. I'm glad that it's so exciting that he is already connected. Oh, yeah. I mean, cool. It took us a little bit
absolutely.
To connect on that. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So today, you know, I led you guys on, so we're coming in, we're talking about how to trust, how to participate with the state when you may not fully agree.
Yeah.
And by state, we kind of just mean the overarching governmental system. That is deciding action plans, care plans, restoration plans.
Reunification
plans. That's the word. Thank you. Dude. Data for, forgive me.
Yeah.
So you're going through this a little bit.
Absolutely.
And I've gone through some sticky situations that were confusing. But so break us open into this conversation, Chris. Yeah. And how do you respond when the action plan may not be what you want it to be?
Yeah, I think, you know, without getting too much into our specific situation, there are just things unfolding that either are maybe a little bit faster than we thought, or a little bit like, okay, probably not what I would have thought was going to happen, but, and that's like the number one thing you hear in foster care, right? I could never give a kid back and stuff like that. Like, well, the best thing for this kid is us, and like, that's clear. That's not always true. That's not always right. And that's not always. So there's that role. This is what we sign up for specifically in foster care. We know adoption is a little bit different, but specifically in foster care. Mm. But it's hitting us a little bit. Like, you know, in our one case situation, we've had a few other kids come through, but in our pretty clear situation, we had a pretty direct plan and we kind of agreed the whole way through.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this is not the right word, but this was fairly easy. Like,
yeah. A plus B equals C.
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, and this situation is a lot more complicated. There's a few more variables that really even haven't shaken itself out. And we're starting to kind of go, not sure that that's what I would have wanted to do, but okay.
Yeah.
So our conversation and idea for this episode was, what do you do when that happens?
Yeah. So just to help paint the picture on it, and we've talked about this before, is that you have to be flexible. You have to be able to shift on the on the go and make things happen.
Yeah,
it's totally not going to be what you what you expect is going to be thrown out the window very quickly, and that's what is happening.
Yeah.
Is all along the way, and we we talk about this so often, but here's what you expected.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're trying to
Much of it is on expectations.
You're trying to pull apart your expectations so you don't have expectations.
Yeah.
That's but then you're trying to gauge what's next so you can prepare yourself, your brain, your family, your circumstances for what's coming next.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, those circumstances change. So all of a sudden, you're restacking the deck. Yeah. And so it's shifting this black and white back to gray, right?
Yeah.
So the gray area, you're in the gray.
We're in it right now.
Right. And I think that that's an important way to categorize it, is in the gray, because there's no right or wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So how do you step forward when there is no, it's not moral, it's not ethical, it's not about justice, it's about what's good, what's best.
Yeah.
And there's no clear answer for that. So how do you move forward on that?
The reality of foster care is that it's imperfect from the start. It's flawed, it's broken. And so
broken people top to bottom.
So you're not necessarily the expectation of things to go logically and perfectly is actually a flawed expectation.
Agreed.
But one that you generally fall into. We did, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I think the first thing is that just trust there's things you don't understand fully.
Okay.
And that's not something that I don't think my wife and I think that we know everything about everything. That's a very naive way to live your life. Please don't do that. But maybe there's variables and things that our guardian ad litem, our social worker, the judge, the caseworker, all the people involved in our situation, there are things that we maybe aren't privy to. And that hopefully is helpful. I don't know if that makes sense. Because it's kind of a cop-out answer to say, when you don't agree, trust. But when you don't agree, trust.
Yes.
Because there's just a lot in there. And I think we'll talk about it in a little bit, but you don't want to lose, maybe for lack of a better term, your position at the table in the conversation.
Right.
Because of an emotional reaction.
Right.
Or something like that. So to just open your hands and trust, if you are potentially like a Christian or a believer and trust in a higher power or, some divine
grounding or ground yourself. Yeah.
You just go, okay, not only do I trust whatever I put my faith into, but also I trust the system that I've signed up for.
Right.
That's a really hard posture to have.
Right.
It's one that's probably going to get you through.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of horror stories about misdeeds, wrong decisions, bad outcomes. But those are the ones that get talked about.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of situations that we had one where one of our little girls was still learning how to talk, and she said something that could have been perceived in a different way.
Yeah.
And there was an investigation. And the state came, everybody top to bottom, all the four people that we our separate caseworkers for our two different cases, active cases, their management, one of our kids' moms, came to our justification to say, so I think that there can be this perception that, because again, I do not discount what you said, the system, yes, the system is broken.
Totally.
Right? As broken as every other institution is on this planet. I have no rose-colored glasses. But there's also there are a lot of good things that are happening.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that there is a lot of good also. And so you have to navigate, what is your end goal? So what would you say? Yeah, what is your end goal? I mean,
well, I think just before we move on, I also want to encapsulate the trust that the people that you've been working with this whole time is also have good intentions.
Right.
I think pretty quickly on, I've been leaning on this advice this is a funny advice, it's a very Gary V type of thing, but take everything personal.
Okay.
Maybe something didn't go the way you wanted. Maybe what you thought you did wasn't as good as it was. You thought it was. Take that personal. That's an opportunity to get better.
Yeah.
And so I think it's pretty easy to then say, well, the state's against me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but it's someone else's fault. and it's not always that way.
Right.
And it's not your fault either.
Right.
But like the us versus them mentality and choosing to choosing to not fill the gap that exists seemingly between you and this state, choose to fill that with positivity and good intentions and say, listen, in our specific case, our caseworker brought us our daughter, like helped us adopt her.
Right.
She's had great intentions for these kids.
Right.
And so I'm choosing now in this moment in which the I don't know, everything's gray. She's still got a good heart.
Right.
She's still trying to do best by the child. Even if that means pain for me, I have to trust the system and the people that has been put in my situation.
Yeah, I remember so hard to know what details to disclose.
Err on the side of caution.
Yeah, our daughter's mom had a little bit of a relapse, taking some back steps on the progress chart, and then showing a ton of progress before that. You know, a little bit, you know, back step, and then like sprint mode, you know, turbo mode. If we're playing a video game, she's all.
She hit that mushroom.
Turbo mode. Yeah, she got the mushroom.
That's actually a bad joke. Sorry.
That's okay. No pun intended on that. Genuine.
That's a Mario Kart reference.
That's a Mario Kart. That is not a drug reference.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Sensor.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll keep moving on. She.
Keeping that in.
That's she. Oh, no, for sure. That's gold. She hits turbo mode on her progress and recovery. And I think I thought that we were going to reset, you know, from that, we're going to reset back to zero. But we instead, if we were at 75%, we reset back to 60%, you know, just trying to put numbers to it. And all of a sudden it's, we're doing, you know, unsupervised. Jeez, gosh, where's my language is gone. Yeah. Unsupervised visits.
Sure.
And I thought, hold the phone. I can't do this. And I'm about to spy. I'm, you know, getting my binoculars out. I'm going to go hide in the bushes and spy on these little cats.
Don't do that.
And I didn't do that.
Don't do that.
But I remember that feeling, you know, of being all, no way, you know. And our caseworker said, hey, I mean, our goal is in the end what's best for this girl.
Yep.
And it's to either prove or disprove.
Yeah.
You know, and the goal is not for Chris. You know, the goal is for this little dude.
Everybody
involved. Everybody involved.
Including us.
Yeah. I mean, and there's an expectation that we as foster parents have to be the bigger people.
True.
Who bear the brunt, who bear a lot of that pain and are empathetic and sympathetic.
Yeah.
So anyways, all that to be said, I do remember that moment of being, you know, this is not a good decision. Yeah. But that seeing her rationale of, we have to give her that chance to either succeed or fail.
Yeah.
And if we do it too, you know, the sooner we do it, the more supervisor opportunities there are, the more checks and balances there are, the more opportunities for oversight. And it helped me to see, because it can be like you're saying, that assumption that they're trying to do me wrong. They have some ulterior motive, you know.
When you feel that and you explain it from your perspective looking back,
you go,
wow, there are a lot of things at play I didn't really realize.
Yeah.
And so to choose to trust.
Well, I think there's more than one way to accomplish a task.
Sure.
And I mean, maybe you could open up on this some more too, but you know, there's not only one way to come to an outcome.
Sure.
And there's an assumption that one route is the best route to that outcome. It may not be true.
Sure. Yep.
So,
so the first one was trust.
Yeah.
What was number two? Do you remember what we talked about?
My brain's gone today.
And what was number two?
Patience. No, that's the third. Patience.
No, patience is the
okay. Patience.
I'll cut this one. Yeah.
Okay. The second one is
to have patience, and to just. No, it's not. The third one is
see the long game.
Yep. Don't use your seat at the table.
Yeah.
two essentially patients, but it's like continue, like still be a team player.
Yeah,
how about that?
Okay, and then the second one is
still be a team player.
Okay, what does that mean?
Not that you actually have any other option, to be honest, as a foster parent. Like, if you're not going to play by the rules, then what? This sounds really harsh. They'll come take the kid.
Yeah.
Find a family that will.
Yeah.
And it, two and three kind of play into each other, but play by the rules.
Yeah.
And the worst thing you can do is go rogue and or freak out or
yeah.
You know, and we'll talk about the in the third point, but to be patient and to walk. And just to go in and over-communicate is probably a big one, too.
Yeah.
And, like, in our situation, my wife called our caseworker kind of out of the norm. We've kind of established a regular rhythm with her. Just like, listen, I don't agree. And that was...
And that's okay.
And that was a... And our caseworker is amazing. So
yeah.
If you happen to listen, you can put the piece together to who mine is. I'm a big fan. She's great.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, let's talk. Like, and
awesome.
It's surprising because what to point one, you can fill that void with negativity. You can fill that void with like, this is, they are out to get me and disrupt my maybe plans. When you call and break down the barrier and say, listen, I don't fully understand. You're like, okay. And that opens up that conversation. Hopefully if you have a good caseworker, that caseworker then will begin to maybe let the light shine on a few details that maybe she doesn't know or we don't know. And it's like over communicate, be a team player. Like, remember, we are on one team for the good of this child.
Yes. That, I mean, that's the task.
Yeah.
The task is that child's well-being.
Yeah.
We've had three different placements. Four in a sense. And four different caseworkers. And when I come to them with that concept, you know, if I've gotten a little grumpy at times, surprise, yeah. But they're humans,
sure.
And generally they're in this service because of their empathy, of their kindness, yeah. Because they care. And so they're willing to talk, willing to explain.
Sure.
It's wild how when you come aggressive, you get responded with aggressive. When you come with kindness and candidness,
sure,
you get responded to with kindness and candidness. Yep. And I think that is so huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is so huge. You know, again, and I just want to shout out to Tracy. I mean, we're not saying comply at all means.
Oh, yeah.
Because there within those discussions that I had, there was insight that I was giving that I do know shifted the course,
sure.
Adjusted, you know, decisions, those types of things. I do believe I was listened to. However, so do please ask questions,
yeah.
Give your opinion, share those things. Be kind,
yeah.
You know, be kind, be thoughtful, dude. About that feedback and how you're going to address that. Because, I mean, again, if you come very aggressively, it's not going to be handled well. And this is not a battle. I mean, it's a, they sometimes say that, again, man, I'm
number three cliche tonight,
but if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Nice.
And in this situation, you're not going to beat them.
Yep.
You're not going to beat them.
Yep.
They hold all the cards. And again, it's not that you just comply,
sure.
When you disagree. But there's a way to show respect and be courteous of their intelligence, of their insights. And these people, I mean, a lot of them went to school. They have years of training.
Yeah.
For these outcomes. So,
and I think that's bleeds into the last point perfectly. So good job.
Yes. I love it when I do that. What is our last point, Chris?
Don't lose your seat at the table.
Yeah.
And so many people, and I, you know,
expand on that for us.
But I have met a few people that have led an emotional reaction, a loose cannon phone call, something kind of disqualify themselves from the situation. To say, oh, maybe for lack of a better term, your true colors are showing. Like your intention isn't necessarily the best for the child, for the best of you, maybe where your expectations were. And so I think the biggest thing that you can do, one of the biggest things you can do I mean, we said trust, over communicate is really great. And then also like just stay in the game, if you will. And there's so many people that will make a rational decision, freak out, will do something wrong. And because of that, someone could just be like, listen, I don't know that you are maybe the best situation here to help us with what our goals are, because they do hold all the cards.
Yeah.
So the worst thing that you could do, man, if you think it's hard to like be in the midst of a situation and not agree, imagine being
on the outside,
taken away from a situation that you didn't agree with and have to watch the rest of it play out from the outside, which you won't get any answers because you're not at the table anymore.
And then, I mean, not to treat children like commodities.
Absolutely not.
But we're playing a long game, you know, and I know for our family and our kids are asking, when can we bring in more kids? And I think there is no perfect outcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a brokenness to all of these situations, and it, as well as it can be put back together, it cannot be made whole completely again. And so all that to be said, that there will be positives and negatives on both sides of that decision. You know, moving things fast, moving things slow, you know, moving things left, moving things right. There's goods and bads within all of that. However, you have to take into consideration, you know, is this fight, you know, is it going to burn the bridge for the for the next one?
Yeah.
You know, is there an opportunity for another few children to come through your doors? And, you know, is this it? You know, and I speak this from just pure experience that I did want. I mean, and my emotions were in it, you know, and for good reason. Yeah. And I wanted to fight it, and I thought it was ridiculous. And my wife and I sat and had a couple beers and vented about, you know, the frustration of the situation. And you know what now is, those two are living together.
Yeah.
It's going okay, you know, and it's not completely derailed like my worst nightmares had considered that it would, you know, that
to put it practically, if you're pissed, call your buddy.
Yeah.
Or talk to your wife.
Yeah, dude.
Don't call.
Go for a jog.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, take that time, find a way to decompress and find a neutral position to look at the situation and realize that there's so much more in the future. I mean, if I would have gone all in on that outcome, there'd be four kids still looking for an adoptive home.
That's crazy.
You know, I mean, if you think about that, right? So I mean, I didn't realize how much maybe wisdom I would have to present at this, but in all reality, I mean, in that was just very, very real.
Yeah.
If I would have, you know, aired all of my frustrations and planted my flag and said, I'm standing on this hill and I'm dying on this hill, then four kids would be looking for a new home right now.
Yeah.
And that's reality.
I mean, so. And I love, just to wrap up this episode, I love what you said earlier. Like if you come in hot with some anger, you probably are going to receive some anger.
Yeah.
If you come in like, hey, humble, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm on your team, I trust you, I'm just seeking to understand. It's wild how welcomed that is.
Yeah.
And you would think that, oh, they're against me. No, man, like we're in this together. And, you know, if this situation plays out the way it's supposed to play out and the worst in your mind happens, maybe that's something else for you. And so that's something that
it's
so much harder to say. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it tonight is because it's literally the front of my brain. It's what's happening in our situation.
This week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right now.
We got the call Wednesday and we film, or Tuesdays and we film on Thursday, so 2 days ago. Right. So this is like, okay, my wife's in tears, like struggling, and you know, this maybe isn't what we talked about, but situations have kind of unfolded in a way that this makes sense now more than ever. And so it's a little bit like, okay, here we go.
Okay.
So that's it.
Okay. Proud of you, dude.
Dude, I guess.
Working through it.
Yeah.
This is great to be working through it live.
I'll send this to my wife so my wife can know what I'm thinking.
We're working through it live, dude. It's good.
All right.
That's good. See ya.